Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Helen DeFosses has been a commentator on WAMC for decades. She's also worked extensively on women's rights issues throughout the world. She's currently an instructor in public policy at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Missing her input on this program, we reached out to Helen to share her thoughts on the former president's most recent call to action.
The Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mary Oliver asked in one of her poems, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your wild and precious life?" Jimmy Carter has answered this question by serving as our 39th president, establishing the Carter Center, then going on to become one of our most activist former presidents, winning the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts and to advance democracy and human rights. Jimmy Carter has also done a lot of writing in his wild and precious life. He knows how to use controversy as a tool for change. His new book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power, tackles the incredibly tough and controversial challenge of how to change the many policies that harm women and girls around the world. Carter calls it the human and civil rights struggle of our time. President Carter's extremely well-written and well-researched book on women has already led to many talk show interviews about discrimination against women, discrimination that results in genital cutting of little girls, 150 million missing girl babies in Asia, sex trafficking, discriminatory handling of rape and sexual abuse cases, and the lack of educational and economic equality for women everywhere. His willingness to use his writing and speaking skills, as well as his reputation, to change the situation of women and girls has brought inestimable new media and hopefully policy attention to these agonizing but sometimes languishing problems. President Carter also aims in this book to teach us how to make political change to help women and girls. It is surely time to commit or recommit ourselves to individual and collective action on these issues, especially as our own country in recent years has changed the age-old maxim from the personal is political to the personal is the religious is the political. This is a politically fraught and well-funded formulation indeed, and one that is playing out around the globe. Carter's new book and the Carter Center website list 23 political action steps we can take to improve the position of women and girls, ranging from encouraging them to speak out more forcefully and to seek public office, to insisting that the United States Senate ratify the UN's Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. And on the website, www.cartercenter.org, you can write in to list what you personally are doing to take action. Jimmy Carter also calls on us to bring about change in the way religion is often used to mistreat or justify the mistreatment of women and girls. As he puts it, and I quote, "I saw the ravages of racial prejudice as I grew up in the Deep South. Today, there is a similar system of discrimination that touches every nation. I have become convinced that the most serious and unaddressed worldwide challenge is the deprivation and abuse of women and girls, largely caused by a false interpretation of carefully selected religious texts. This is not just a women's issue. It is not confined to the poorest countries. It affects us all." End of quote. Carter words his concerns about religion very carefully. Yet many readers and listeners hear these words as an attack, and not on someone else's religion, but on their own. The blogosphere and social media have been humming with anger. But Jimmy Carter persists in teaching us how to bring about religious change, how to press for more fairness for women and girls. Many of the 23 steps in the book are religious. His book also contains additional religious action steps, like the creation of Sisters in Islam in Malaysia, which uses research to show that there is no basis in the original teachings of Islam, quote, for viewing women as inferior to men, end of quote. Carter's book also analyzes the establishment of the Women's Ordination Conference to attempt to influence the Catholic Church. He reminds us that this research and organizing needs and deserves active support. Jimmy Carter's book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power, underscores the pain and abuse of women and girls and calls on us to use the policy arena, the political sphere, and especially the religious realm, to bring about, quote, an end to the deprivation of human rights of more than half the population, end of quote. The publication of this book in March has kicked off a great year for President Carter. A biography of him, appropriately called Redeemer, The Life of Jimmy Carter, will be published by Basic Books in May, and he turns 90 in October. He has truly fashioned an entire life around bringing about change, change guided by moral values, international agreements, and religious principles. He has used the pulpit as a Baptist teacher, the bully pulpit as president, and now a call to action at the intersection of religion and power to drive this message home to each of us. Imagine the impact we could have if we integrate President Carter's message and his example into our own wild and precious lives.
Helen DeFossis is an instructor in public policy at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Jimmy Carter's new book is A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power. It is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.